Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. I'm not sure I know someone who brings more intelligence to bear on the challenges that this country is facing from enemies, well, as they say, foreign and domestic, than our guest for this very special edition of Secure Freedom Radio. He is Dinesh D'Souza. The various ways of describing his contributions to our country's scholarship, readership, intellectual activity is, well, it's daunting to say the least. He is a writer, a scholar, a professor, a public intellectual, a filmmaker. He unfortunately has a bit of a criminal background, which he describes in a very poignant and very powerful way in his new film, which we've invited him to come aboard to talk about, Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party. Dinesh D'Souza, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate all you've been doing in all of these capacities, and not least your time with us today. Thank you so much for joining us. Good to have you back.
Frank, it's a pleasure to be on the show. And we live at a critical time, and this movie, and there's also an accompanying book of the same title. And the two are kind of my 1-2 punch in trying to put out information that I don't believe is out there that people don't know, both about the Clintons as well as about the Democratic Party.
Well, I want to really go through this in considerable detail, and I'm so pleased to have the time with you to do it. You start the film with some of your own personal background and the exposure that you had to criminals and their enterprises, which served as a really perfect motif for the larger film. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
This is for a documentary, it's good to have a story. A documentary really works well as a journey, as a kind of quest to find out something. And so, ironically, my incarceration in a federal confinement center on the Mexican border for 8 months overnight, this turned out to be part of the plot. It worked really well, and it is part of my story. The story goes back to 2012 when I gave $20,000 over the campaign finance limit to a college friend of mine who was running for the U.S. Senate. My motive was purely friendship. The candidate didn't even know about it. There was no corruption involved. And normally these cases are just taken to the Federal Election Commission. You get a fine and maybe some community service, but it's not prosecuted as a criminal matter. But Obama and his Justice Department put me in their sights, unleashed a whole bunch of FBI agents on me, and they got me before a Clinton appointee judge who sentenced me to this period of 8 months of overnight incarceration. Well, interestingly, there I kind of got an exposure to an America I'd never seen before, the America of the criminal underclass. And as you say, I take that scene, I stick it right in the movie. It becomes part of my education in learning about how these gangs and criminal rackets operate. And then I use that information and insight to look at politics and look specifically at the Democratic Party and look at the way in which the Democratic Party has skirted around laws and uses, in a sense, its gang operations to collect money, to accumulate power, all at the expense of the American taxpayer.
The fact that you were, in a fashion, really a political prisoner, I guess, is something we might just dwell on before we get back to the movie. At the moment, that's our focus, Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party. And that is, what was it that brought you to the attention, shall we say, of the Obama administration? Might it have had something to do with 2016, Obama's America, or perhaps America Imagine the World Without Her, two of your other films and books?
Well, it would be the former, the earlier film about Obama, because, and I think it's quite obvious that that was the my incarceration was retribution for that. Right after I made that movie, Obama himself began to rail against the film on his website, BarackObama.com. And then a few weeks later, the FBI came knocking on my door. Now, no American has ever been incarcerated for doing what I did. There's another fellow named Chatwal, Asian Indian guy, oddly enough. He gave $180,000 in straw donations to Hillary Clinton and a whole group of Democratic candidates. He went before a judge, no prison, no confinement. And this is a guy who gave, nine times the amount that I did. And he was found guilty of witness tampering, and he openly boasted about corruption. So my point is, justice isn't just a matter of did you do it, but does the penalty fit the crime? Do other guys who did the same thing get the same penalty? And that's clearly not the case. So progressive justice, if you will, a complete oxymoron, a complete sham. This was a political prosecution. Fortunately, I was able to take the lemon and turn it into lemonade.
Yes, you did indeed. And this is really the point of this hour's conversation, is what you were able to do, as you say, to take that personal education, Dinesh D'Souza, and turn it into an opportunity to teach the rest of us about a criminal enterprise on a massive scale. In fact, you describe it as, having as its object stealing America. Talk a little bit about this this progressive agenda, which you define so well and dissect in its application.
Well, I was talking to the a group of these hoodlums, and I was discussing with them the kind of the interesting idea from the Shawshank Redemption that criminals habitually proclaim and profess their innocence. They never admit they did it. And these guys were like, no, you know, we did it. We're guilty, but we are the small fry. We're the stupid criminals, the fellows who got caught. The big fry are out there. They're at large. They never get caught. And in fact, the system doesn't even go after them because they're too well connected within the system. They run the system. So, you know, fast forward to Bill Clinton meeting with Loretta Lynch, with Obama signaling both to FBI Director Comey and to Lynch, hey, you know, hands off Hillary. She's my gal. I'm turning over the baton to her. I mean, you begin to see how there's a different system of justice that operates for these guys. They run the Justice Department. They know all the top players involved. They can cut deals in private rendezvous. And so this is not the America we want to live in, but this is the America we have now.
Dinesh D'Souza, I want to just sort of begin pulling that apart, if we can, what that agenda really represents, by asking you to talk a little bit about the history of what I think you pretty persuasively argue has been a criminal enterprise going back to the very founding of the Democratic Party. Would you talk about Andrew Jackson and his role in all of this?
Yeah, the founding of the Democratic Party is a kind of a mystery. If you Google it, there was a PBS special on the topic, which completely obfuscates the topic. It starts off by talking about FDR, and you're like, FDR? Wait a minute. Obviously, it was a Democratic Party before FDR. And then they go back to Thomas Jefferson, and they go, Jefferson! But wait a minute, but you know, Jefferson's party was called the Democratic Republican Party. It had nothing to do with what the modern Democratic Party. Later, it split, and out of the splits came the Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party was founded by Andrew Jackson. Now, there's a lot of controversy about Jackson as an Indian warrior, the Trail of Tears, and so on, but there's an aspect of Jackson that's not well known, but very well documented, and that is the way that Jackson vastly enriched himself through his public office. Essentially, what Jackson would do is he would plan to evacuate a group of American Indians, throw them off their land, drive them further west. And that land was supposed to come up for sale, for auction, if you will, to settlers. Now, Jackson would send private surveyors into the land to determine its value even before the Indians were evacuated. Then he would talk to his buddies who were investors, and they would put up money and bid on the land before it even came up for public sale. In this way, Jackson went from being dead broke, in Hillary Clinton's phrase, to becoming one of the richest men in the country. bought a huge slave plantation, which exists to this day in Tennessee. And so it's interesting because when I read about the Clinton Foundation and its shenanigans, its rackets, its sort of selling of public policy and foreign policy, I say, wow, you know, the roots of the Clinton Foundation can be seen in the land-stealing policies of Andrew Jackson.
Fantastically interesting insight. Dinesh D'Souza, we're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back with more of the creator of Hillary's America, the secret history of the Democratic Party, and much, much more. Dinesh D'Souza, straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.